listening to local officials, knowing where to relocate to if you have to evacuate. It's critical to know all these different things. And to top it off, to really just have information, right? Information is power. Knowledge is power.
Hi there. It's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, FEMA gets the word out about preparedness. Well, September is National Preparedness Month, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency is trying to get the word out. The message? Be prepared before disaster strikes. To talk about the campaign and his memories of serving during 9/11, I spoke with Andrew D'Amora, who's Deputy Regional Administrator for FEMA in Region 2.
Listen, it all boils down to common sense. You know, you make sure you have a plan, you and your family, your friends, you know, for all hazards. You know, we're in the middle of hurricane season, but this National Preparedness Month, we're focusing on all hazards. So whether it's a winter storm, flooding, hurricane, tornado, which we've seen more of, and also the increasing amount of rain that we get from these different systems. Know your zone if you live in a low-lying area. Have a go bag ready. You know, with important documents, your prescriptions, know where you have to relocate to. And, you know, an important thing also, make sure you pet your elderly neighbors and relatives, but also listening to local officials, knowing where to relocate to if you have to evacuate. It's critical to know all these different things. And to top it off, to really just have information, right? Information is power. Knowledge is power. So go to ready.gov/start. This way you could start working on a plan if you don't have one already. And that'll also lead to other things, other resources where you'll be well informed and have a plan for when something does happen.
You know, during disasters, and we've seen a lot of them in, you know, New York's Hudson Valley with extreme rainfall and flooding, obviously Connecticut and Vermont, too. I know that's not your region, but it's nearby. Is FEMA's response changing at all, given the increased frequency in extreme events like these?
Yeah, Ian, definitely we're deployed, you would think, a lot more, you know, with these. If you go back to even to different types of storms, or just bring up Hurricane Ida as an instance where you see a tropical system at a different part of the United States come across, something unprecedented that you wouldn't think you'd get all this tropical rain and these different rain systems that are really dumping a lot of rain in a short amount of time in these different areas you indicated in New York State and up in New England as well. So, yes. We're definitely seeing more frequency in that, and working with our state and local partners, you know, New York State, Department of Homeland Security, Emergency Services, and New York State OEM, we're definitely well positioned, and we have great partnership with them. So we work with them very closely on all these different disasters. And, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot more of them, but we definitely are deployed, but we're ready and we're always willing to help our state and local partners.
It always seems a little confusing when there has been an incident like this, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got local officials and the governor sometimes requesting disaster declarations, and there are different types of FEMA response. Can you sort of demystify for us a little bit what FEMA actually does in such a case?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we definitely, if the state or local, really with the state, would ask us for any kind of resources, you know, on the response end, a lot of times the state as well, like region FEMA Region 2, we cover all of New York State, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So New York and New Jersey, very robust in capability on the response end. So, you know, a lot of times we'll just, if we have to respond to anything, we'll mission assign different areas of the federal government if requested. But on the recovery side, we do work closely with them. We do joint damage assessments when we're requested to do that with them. This way we could expedite the recovery aspect and give folks, if there's any individual needs as requested by the state, that we'll be able to, you know, really to address any of those issues. So it's really working closely with collaborating with the state and locals. And in conjunction with their needs, we will address it, but it has to be jointly.
Now, part of the reason we're speaking is that FEMA is trying to improve its outreach to communities that might not always get a message like this. How are you doing it?
Yeah, good point, Ian. You know, a lot of lessons learned. So each year, FEMA and the Air Council really targets different communities. Every community should have a plan. Everybody who's listening to this, make sure you have a plan. If you have one, reach out to your friends and neighbors and make sure that they have one as well, and your relatives. But this year, FEMA and the Air Council is concentrating on outreach with the Asian community and Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders with all the issues and storms and the fires that happen out in Maui. But in our area of operation, you know, really concentrating on the Asian community. In fact, when you go to ready.gov, there are several languages as well, including Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Tagalog, and Vietnamese, to really do outreach to those communities and making sure that we're really addressing that. And also that spills down to our state and local partners as well, making sure that they're addressing the community's needs. And you know what? That's why we're here, to help the communities that really can't help themselves, right? That's why we're in public service. So it's such a key thing. And this year, to just concentrate on those communities, but every community should have a plan and know what to do in an emergency.
Now, you mentioned that it is hurricane season. And, you know, obviously, we both remember Superstorm Sandy coming in at the end of that season.
Yeah.
But what kinds of incidents do you personally fear the most? Because, you know, here where we're speaking in upstate New York, a lot of times by the time a tropical storm gets here, you know, it's a remnant of something that was worse when it started in a more tropical area. But as we're heading into kind of the colder months, are there things we're not thinking about as much as a hurricane?
Yeah, but, you know, good point, Ian. You know, Sandy was October 29th, right, in 2012. So we're in the heart of hurricane season now, but we've got a long way to go. You know, it goes till the end of November, really December 1st. So we had the earliest storm on record in June with a major hurricane. So don't let your guard down. You know, we could have something that really stirs up over the next few months. But that being said, you're right. When you're not thinking of those tropical systems when they come across, especially later in the hurricane season. But again, remember Ida and all these other remnants of these different storms. These tropical systems can dump a lot of rain in a short amount of time, and especially in like in upstate New York. You know, you have these the creeks and the rivers, they can rise. And, you know, Sandy was the perfect storm. It was high tide. It wasn't even a hurricane, if you think about it, when it hit the coast of New Jersey and New York. So, you know, and we remember Hurricane Irene as well, going dumping a lot of rain in upstate New York. So we can't let our guard down. I think that's the key message. And even if we get into the colder months, you know, you're dealing with, we had unprecedented snow upstate, you know, as we look into the winter months. So I think we should start preparing now in upstate New York for winter storms as well. So, you know, be ready and have that plan. Like I said, ready.gov/start, make sure that we're hitting all those points.
Just to wrap up here, I hope you don't mind my asking, but you, before you were with FEMA, you worked for many decades in the New York City Police Department, including during the 9/11 attacks. And as we're at that anniversary now, 23 years later, I wonder where your mind goes.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Well, my mind immediately goes, I was also at New York City OEM, Emergency Management, before I came to FEMA. And, you know, I've lost four friends in the last year from 9/11-related illness.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, I think of them, especially my good friend, I'll mention his name, Joe Esposito, is the chief of department for the NYPD, and he was the hero of 9/11. He was on top of the pile every day and making sure that families were getting the proper due, especially relocating and recovering their relatives, police officers especially. But, you know, that day itself, you know, it was my daughter's first day of kindergarten. You know, now she's 26, going to be 27. So never forget that, you know, and just running in and the many, we can't let our guard down, right? And as a nation, we got to be prepared. It comes back to being ready, and also the community aspect. We had such, after 9/11, September 12th, right, 9/12, you know, the community was really one. So when it comes to preparedness, we should think of the same way, you know, like with our neighbors and friends, don't be so isolated. You know, we're one community helping each other, and that's what public service is all about. But reflecting on September 11th, you know, we can never forget. Make sure we never do.
Andrew Diamora is Deputy Regional Administrator of FEMA in Region 2, which includes New York State and New Jersey. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, and stay safe.
Thanks, Ian. stay safe, and everybody, God bless.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.